That gives us pause to think, doesn't it? There are people today who can't go to church to worship because they don't live in a free country. We take our blessings for granted too often. It's good to be back. I have been gone and missed the last three Sabbaths. And to come back, there's something about getting together again with the people, even though, you know, some of them we may not know each other's name or something like that. There's something when we come and worship God together that makes a difference for us. And it's good to be back, especially good for me. I look at this group of kids over here and various ones sitting in various places around here. 2 months, almost, since school was out. And guess what? Only 3 weeks left. It's going to go by fast. This morning I'm going to share some thoughts of some things that have happened recently, but one of the first things I want to share is that I'm blessed to have a dad who always loved nature. Always has grown a garden. In fact, now he's got his garden so big that is in his retirement, it kind of drives his life. He can't go on vacations because he's got things that need to be taken care of in the garden. And I could tell you some long stories about having to weed strawberries, but we won't go there. But I want to tell you that was the beginning for me of a love of nature. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about roots and fruits. And the Bible has some very interesting analogies between people and plants. And particularly today we're going to consider trees. And the part of the tree that we're going to consider is roots. 3 weeks ago, I've got to learn how to do this. There we go. 3 weeks ago, Ashley and I were camping up in the National Park, Rocky Mountain National Park, to be exact. And as we were driving along one afternoon, in fact, I think it was about 3 weeks ago this afternoon, we were driving along and all of a sudden I looked over and I saw this tree. And obviously it was a big tree. And with all of the brown needles on it, it obviously at one point was a healthy tree. However, if you look at that tree right now, you can tell quickly that what? It's dead. It's gone. There's no life left in it. And it doesn't take too long to realize why. As you can see, something came along and blew that tree over, and you see the root system standing straight up and down there. Those of you that have been up to Calaveras and various places like that, up to Sequoia and all, you've seen those big trees laid over, huge root systems standing up. And we're going to come back and look a little closer at what possibly happened to that tree. But it reminded me of the verse in Psalm where David starts out, and he says in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And here's the phrase, "He shall be," when he meditates on God and his law day and night, "he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither." Would you like to be a tree planted by water where you have a constant source of moisture and nutrients and all like that? As we have a good root system in God, we will have that kind of a situation. And for our children, as they grow up, we have desires for them. Our desire is that as they watch us and as they grow up, that they are going to grow up to be straight and strong and tall. And we want them to be active and healthy. We want them to develop spiritual roots because we know that that's going to determine where they spend eternity. And we want them there with us. We would like for them to learn to delight in the Lord, to develop a personal relationship with Jesus, to stand on their own and be successful. Those are all dreams we have for our children. And for those of us who are parents, we spend more time probably dealing with that and praying for our kids that those will be realities in their life than anything else. We know that we probably can't preach at them too much, at least, and have them hear what we have to say. But we can pray because God hears and He answers our prayers. We want them to be like that tree planted by the streams of waters, to be successful spiritually and to prosper. That's our dream. That's our goal for our children. But you know what? Occasionally, we see people who end up like this and like that other pine tree that we saw laying down in the first picture. What can you tell about this tree? As the other one, it is dead. And the likelihood, if you look at that, it is possible for trees to die because of diseases and things like that. But more often than not, the problem with the tree has to do with the root system. But you can't see it because it's out of sight. But probably there's no greater fear that we have as parents than that our children will grow up and that they won't have that spiritual root system that provides spiritual life for them. But we see people like this all the time who have made that choice and that decision. There we go. Okay, back to this one. We got out of the car, went back, and took a look at the tree. And I don't know if you can see it there. There it's even better. Do you see what the problem was with the tree? You see, underneath it was almost solid rock. And how in the world the tree had lasted that long, I don't know. And you can also see the way the tree fanned out its roots. So obviously the roots were very shallow. And they got what moisture they could, and they obviously provided enough life for that tree up until the point that something happened. Now, my surmising is that a storm came up, and the wind blew, and the wind was so strong that it just toppled that tree over, and the root system was not solid enough to hold it in the ground and withstand the storms. Now, the reality is there's a pretty good analogy there for life, isn't there? In our lives, spiritually, if we have strong roots spiritually in Jesus, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, when the storms of life come, what happens? We have stability that protects us from the problems and the storms of life. But if we don't have a strong root system, guaranteed, the devil will make sure that he blows something into our life sufficiently that we are blown out spiritually and we throw it all over and we die spiritually. You know, I wish that people were like trees in another way. When you look at a tree, you can tell almost instantly whether it is alive or dead. There's some other things. Have you ever gone up to a tree and taken a twig out on the end and broken it to see if it snaps or not? And a live tree will have some resilience to it, and the twig will just kind of bend over. But it won't snap and be brittle. The thing about it is, there are a lot of people walking around today who are spiritually dead. And if there was a way you could take a twig in their life and snap it, it would snap and be brittle just because there is no spiritual life in them. But we can still walk around, and that's where I think we're almost like walking zombies spiritually, because there's no spiritual life in us, but we still have physical life, and so we go on. But the truth of the matter is, if we're spiritually dead, we're no better off than this tree right here. Which is to say, we need to make sure that we've got the spiritual roots in Jesus that we need. It reminds me, and if you can't see that, I realize I put these on some slides that are pretty light. Reminds me of the parable of the sower. Now, there's the sower. Sometimes we consider it the story of the seed. The truth of the matter is, it really is a story about the soils. So if you take your Bibles, because the next couple of verses are going to be pretty light, and I want you to be able to read those along with me. When Jesus told the story in Matthew 13, as he's going along, there's one particular seed in the place that it fell, and it had an interesting result. And we want to look at verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 13 say, "Some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, and because the soil was shallow, But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had what? No root. A plant cannot live without roots. Now the disciples had lots of questions and they were wondering what in the world Jesus was talking about here. And they asked him, what is this all about? And so Jesus later on in the same chapter gives them the interpretation of his story. And if you look with me up in verses 20 and 21, he talks about people in this story. The person or the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly, what? Falls away. Similar to that tree that fell. So Jesus is talking about the fact that roots make the difference. We want to consider a little bit this morning what actually, these are the verses that you couldn't see. All right, there's the root. You see the rocks down underneath. No hope for that tree to survive because of where it grew up. And the next one are verses 20 and 21. Okay. Now let's think about roots, and then we'll draw the analogy for people. Roots are essential for a healthy tree. Now, what do they basically provide? Well, the first thing they provide is nourishment for the tree to stay alive. If you cut the taproot or if you cut off the roots, you know, when you're messing around a tree, if you've got a tree in your yard and you mess with the roots too much, you can upset the balance sufficiently that the tree, what? Just dies because it doesn't have the nourishment it needs. Beyond having the nourishment it needs, the second thing is that the roots provide stability. Stability to withstand the storms of life. And all of us are going to have those storms. And whether we survive spiritually or not is dependent on the roots. So we're getting a little closer now to determining what the roots are. I would like to suggest that for us spiritually, roots are our personal devotional life. It's the time that we spend with God. It's the time that we challenge God and test God and try God to see if He will be real in our lives. I would like to suggest that the way we build roots is to connect with Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is to take what's in this book, and by taking time every day, take what's in here and put it in here and in here. And if we take time to do that every day and respond to God's promptings, we will have a strong spiritual life that will withstand any kind of test that Satan throws our way. It's our personal relationship with Jesus. An interesting thought about roots. Have you ever tried to pull a plant out to take a look at the root system to check it out? About the time you do that, you just killed your plant. The interesting thing about roots, and I think there's a neat analogy personally, and that is you take the roots out to check them out to see if they're strong and healthy, and you've killed your plant. The same is true in our lives spiritually. You can't sit out there and say, well, I want everybody to see that I'm reading my Bible every day and that I'm praying an hour every day. You start taking and trying to put those things out in a public place, and guess what? It doesn't work. And so roots, in order to do any good, have to stay in the ground out of sight. And the same is true for us spiritually. Our roots and our connection with God and our taking time in the Word is something that has to be personal and private. Paul said it in our scripture reading, and I think we can almost read this one. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he stays with the analogy of roots. And he says, so then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Roots in the spiritual life are critical. Because you see, if you have a good root system, you will have what? Fruit. Now, a lot of times we get all carried away and we start saying, boy, I got to be concerned about making sure I'm producing fruit here so that other people will know that I'm a Christian. My suggestion to you, when my dad worked in the garden and we had fruit trees and everything else, we never went out and took a little bag of fertilizer and tied it on the end of the branch in order to grow fruit there. The only way you could fertilize that plant was to put it in the ground, the fertilizer in the ground, and down through the ground and through the soil coming up, the tree produced fruit. Sometimes we get too worried about the fruits and forget about the roots. The truth of the matter is the roots is what we need to focus on, our time with Jesus every day. If we do that, the fruit comes naturally. It will take care of itself. Personally, myself, as I think back of my own spiritual roots, there are several factors that I credit for any connection with God I have, aside from my own choice. The first one was godly parents. I am thankful, eternally thankful, for the fact that I had a mom and a dad who loved the Lord and who modeled that for me every day of my life, and who still, every day that my mom was alive, I know she prayed for me. My dad still prays for me, and we still draw strength, even in our adult years, from the spirituality of our parents. And parents, if you have kids, the best gift you can give to your kids is a deep spiritual root system in God so that they see that modeled for them, and that will have more of an impact on them than anything else. Godly parents are the first thing to help grow roots. One of the other things that is almost hardly heard of anymore is family worship. Now, I can tell you, when I was real young, our folks did not have a regular family worship. In fact, we rarely ever had it. But I can tell you the time and the year and the place and the setting when I saw my parents grow spiritually, and all of a sudden we started to have worship on a regular basis. And I can tell you, even when we go back and visit family now, mom and dad want to make sure. We do lots of other things. We have fun. We do those kinds of things. But one of the things they want to make sure and do is to sit us down and have worship together. And I will tell you that I still draw strength from that, and I still consider that as one of my anchors spiritually in my roots. A third one is church and Sabbath school. Having grown up, it was never a business that we questioned, well, do we have to go to church today or anything like that? We went. And Sabbath school was not something we had to question and say, well, do I have to go? Never even crossed our minds. We went. The third thing, and I'm going to come back to three in just a second. Fourth thing, Adventist education and godly teachers. I'm going to tell you that if it hadn't been for the privilege I had of going to Adventist schools and sitting at the feet of teachers who loved the Lord and wanted me to love the Lord, I don't know if the other influences would have taken. But the fact of being able to spend 180 days a year, 6 hours a day, with teachers in a setting, and they weren't perfect, they were human, but they made an impact and they made a difference for me. One of my great concerns is that most of these things that, at least for me, helped grow who I am today spiritually are challenged. Now, godly parents, they can do as much as they can, but family worship is hardly ever heard of anymore. The other thing that I am fearful of is the fact that Sabbath school is almost non-existent. It is a challenge, and there are a few kids who see something happening in Sabbath school. Now, I'm not going to blame the kids for that. It's our responsibility as a church to provide something that meets their needs. And I'm thankful to be a part of a church here where I think we have a great program going for our young people. But I'm fearful, as I see in our church all over, even in the adult Sabbath schools. You come to Sabbath school at 9:30, and when I was a kid, you were sitting in your pew at 9:30 ready to sing the song service. And now you look out and it gets pretty sparse. But I'm going to tell you, Sabbath school and church, not an end in themselves, but they are another means of growing roots. And then the business of Adventist education and godly teachers. That is a choice that parents make. But I'm going to suggest, if you want your kids to have strong spiritual roots, it's worth the investment. The purpose of Adventist education at its heart is to help kids grow roots in Jesus. That's what it's all about for us. Would like to share with you, can't see that, kids with roots. Tell you about some of my kids from the past. First one I tell you about is Robert. Robert's dad was a leading cardiologist in the large city where we lived, and he lived right two houses from the Adventist church. They were not Adventists. But somehow, I think it was probably Branch Sabbath School or something like that, or Vacation Bible School, Robert started coming to the church. And somebody was on the ball, and when Robert got there, they said, well, where do you go to school? And Robert told them, and he said, why don't you come to the Adventist school, which was right down the hill behind the church. Robert started coming in grade school. Neat kid, redhead, smart, kind of introverted a little bit. But Robert went all the way through. He came faithfully to church in Sabbath school and went all the way through Adventist education. And today he's an Adventist preacher. That's some of what roots were developed for Robert, in spite of the fact that his parents, as far as I know, didn't have any kind of profession. Second one I want to share with you is Megan. I've told you a little bit about Megan before. Megan came from an abusive home. In fact, it was so abusive, I read an article about the situation in the Reader's Digest years ago. And she was living with a foster family. And came to us in the later elementary years. And Megan was unique, to say the least. And she didn't, for years, make much of a profession. But I can tell you the time in academy when we were off at a Bible retreat on the coast, and other students started making their profession of giving their life to Jesus, and Megan said, I want to be a Christian. Not only did she say, I want to be a Christian, when it came time and she finished academy, she decided she would go to Walla Walla College. And she was baptized and went as a student to Walla Walla for several years. And a couple of years ago, you may have read the article in the review, Megan was home in the summer, and she was working with the teens in the church, and they were up on one of the rivers above Wenatchee. And as the girls were floating along, they fell off their inner tube, and they weren't thinking about where they were at, and they got into the wrong place. And one of the girls actually drowned. And in the process, Megan dove in to try and save them, and she drowned as well. And the lady, the other gal that she tried to save was the daughter of one of the Bible teachers at Walla Walla College. But I can tell you this, I would have, if when I first met Megan, I had wondered about whether she had spiritual roots or where she'd be in eternity, I wouldn't have much security. But after watching Megan grow and after seeing her develop spiritual roots in Adventist education and become a part of the Adventist family, I have no question about whether Megan had spiritual roots or not. And she got that largely through the Adventist church and Adventist education. Last one I want to tell you about is Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was a young lady in the Adventist Hispanic church, which met in the building right next to our church. They met there every Sabbath, faithfully. But you know what? Even though their family had been Adventists all along the way, when it came time of where to go to school, the family had no question. They could not begin to afford it. And so they had just never considered the idea of sending their Adventist daughter to an Adventist school because of the expense. When I realized that there were absolutely no students from the Hispanic church in our school, I went to the pastor and I said to the pastor, you know what? This is not right. You go and pick out a couple of young ladies or a couple of students who can come to school who will be serious, who will study hard and do their best, and let me know, and we'll work out arrangements. And he did, and he sent me Diana and Elizabeth. Now, Diana, a few years later, ended up being Ashley's roommate at Walla Walla College. Elizabeth went on through academy, and then her family transferred down, but she, last I knew, was a student down at Southern Adventist University. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I know the families because I watched them in the community. And had she not come to the Adventist school, She probably would have found somebody in their little Adventist church and married them. They would have settled in the area and probably never been active in the church. What I'm going to suggest to you is that there is something about Adventist education that makes a connection for kids with the church that you can't quantify. There's just something about it. There is a connectedness there that you can't put your finger on. And when kids are in Adventist schools and grow through that, they have the opportunity. It's not forced on them, but they have the opportunity of deciding where they're going to go. But typically they will follow their friends, and then they go off to Adventist schools. And when they go off to Adventist colleges, the next thing you know, it's about time for them to settle down for life, and they find a mate from the people they've gone to school with. And it does make a difference. I am thankful for what Adventist education did for these three young people that I know personally, and what it does for all young people. Roots by streams. My concern is that I know that they're Adventist families. Did you know that we don't have a single student from the Adventist Hispanic Church four blocks from the school? Not one. So I went to the pastor, and I talked to him, and I said, you know what? That's not right. You go find some students for me. And I talked to him here a week ago, and he said, I've got three students who are ready to come. But you know what? Most of those families will not even contemplate the idea of sending their kids to Adventist schools because of the cost. And that's the great challenge we have. There are many who cannot afford Adventist education. And I will tell you my philosophy as I've shared it before, and nobody's run me off yet, although I know that there are people who disagree with it. But here's what I believe. What I believe is that any Adventist family who sincerely wants their kids in an Adventist education should have the opportunity and privilege of doing that, irrespective of whether they can afford it or not. And then I believe beyond that, when they can't afford it, guess who should? It's our responsibility as a church family. We grew up with the privilege of having spiritual roots and having the advantages of an Adventist education. And we ought to take that and appreciate it sufficiently that we make possible for anybody else to. Now, there are some who choose not to, and that's their right. But there are some who would love to have their kids in Adventist schools and can't afford it. So that's my burden and my concern. How can we help them? I am thankful to this church and to this community who have worked hard to provide, but I will tell you, the help that we have provided to this point is generally only for those students who need a minimal amount of help, families who need a minimal amount of help. But for families who are just destitute or who are living at a poverty level or below poverty level, to think of spending $5,000 or $6,000 to put their kids in an Adventist school is just not something they contemplate. And that's where this church has stood up in the past and helped make that happen. I'm thankful in our Sabbath school class we've talked about that and what we can do to try and make sure that these kids have the advantage of going to an Adventist school. And we're going to continue to work on that and appreciate your help and support. Would appreciate your prayers. As I've gone around, I talked with a father down in Tracy back about a month ago, and I sat down with him. And we were talking. He said, I desperately want my son to come to an Adventist school because I know that that's going to make the difference for him. But when I showed him the sheet of what it was going to cost, he sat there for about 5 minutes and all he could do was shake his head. And he just said, there's no money. And I said, don't worry about that. God will provide. But you have to step out in faith and believe it yourself. And so it is critical for us to be aware of those families, and I'm thankful to begin to make connections with that. If you know of young people that might be interested, please, let's go back to the second to the last slide, please. We may or may not get there. We can look up the verse anyway. You know, the business about roots affects all of us, not only in Adventist education, which is the heart of what we do, but it also is very practical for us and what we need. Because the truth of the matter is, if we don't have those personal roots ourselves, guess what? We have no spiritual life. And again, they have to be out of the way, out of sight, so nobody can tell what's going on with them. But we every day make choices to determine whether we have those spiritual roots or not. So my challenge to us this morning is, no matter who we are, do we have roots in Jesus? Let's take a look at the final verse I wanted to share with you this morning in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul describes what it is to be rooted in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3. And in chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, here's what Paul prays for the believers in the Ephesus church. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. Roots, spiritual roots, are the means for us to partake of God and his nature and his character. And the choice is ours every day. Am I going to take time, or will the devil keep me from this word? Because this is the channel through which God feeds us his word and spiritual life. My prayer for all of us is that not only will we continue to support seeing that Adventist young people have an Adventist education, but each of us daily will not lose the opportunity to make sure that we are growing our spiritual roots and that we are grounded in Jesus. Let's take our hymnals, or you can look at the words on the board, and we're going to sing our closing hymn this morning, which is an old one. Be Like Jesus, hymn number 492. We're going to sing the first and last verses of that. Please stand with us as we sing.
Teach me, Father, what to say.
Father, the desire of our hearts this morning is that we will take time every day to look to Jesus, because we know in that looking we will become like him. Thank you for your blessings and watch care. Give us your blessing now as we separate. Be with us through this coming week and bring us back next week in worship to you. Most of all, we thank you for providing your word to give us spiritual life. May we take advantage of that this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll say yes.